40, tackled by Jordan Hancock, and Ohio State, national champions, beating Notre Dame tonight. 34-23, the ninth national championship in Ohio State history.
Kind of subdued, quiet background.
Remember, that's what happened. You were playing the clip last week of the Texas fumble, and it was the same thing. It was, and it's a fumble, and it's scooped up, and they're going to score.
They don't sound very excited. I mean, they're excited, but they're not excited.
And still, they broke the rules, because you heard a... And remember, this is a working press box.
That's right.
No applause, please.
No applause.
They're not doing the game in the press box. They're in their own room. Good morning, Metroplex. It's a Tolo Tuesday edition of Sean and RJ. He is our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt. We got PayPay firing up the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Another loaded Tuesday show on DFW Sports Station. I thought I was getting ready to go to sleep early. I thought this thing was over. I tweeted night-night, question mark, and then the Shinks hit. As Notre Dame made this a ball game, the Buckeyes ultimately win.
They do, and I was sweating this one out from a gambling perspective because I had it at the 8. I had it minus 8. A lot of people had it minus 8.5, some at 9.
They didn't run out of the back of the end zone.
And they did not run out of the back of the end zone, so you needed that field goal. That field goal made it, even if you had it at 8, you still needed it because you were going to get a push. And when you're up 31-7, a push is not going to do. But that was a, outside of the comeback. I mean, you know, Ohio State showed the entire playoff run that they were the better team and the best team. And I'm going to have to go through this because I don't know there was a more impressive title run in sports that I can remember.
Oh.
They went through number 1, 3, 5, and 7, and they beat them all by double digits.
In a watered down year, like a lot of people would probably argue Ohio State's first CFP title, they beat better teams.
Well, they beat Alabama and Oregon.
Yeah, like that. Those were better teams than the ones they beat.
Absolutely, like those two teams, because of the way the portal is, right? Those were, it was like comparing the 92 Cowboys to the 07 Patriots. Like the 92 Cowboys beat the 07 Patriots 55-0, right? Like just the rosters you can't compare to. But, you know, like to have to go through four top seven teams in a month span and beat them all by double digits and have a 20-point lead in three of the four games. I mean, that's tough to beat.
It's pretty good. It's weird now that we're going to see with the CFP by the end of the year, you're going to see teams with old-looking NFL records. So Ohio State finishes the year 14-2.
Yeah.
And Notre Dame finishes 14-2. But this is at the end of that first drive. Notre Dame's first drive was so impressive, that 18-play, 75-yard drive. But you also came away from that first
carries by the quarterback.
Yeah. Riley Leonard. And it looked like at the end of that drive, it was almost like, did you just empty everything you had? Like you had this feeling Riley Leonard was just like, all right, that's all I got for the night, guys. Like he looked hurt or exhausted by the end of that drive. You know, it made sense why he would be as much as he worked in there. But yeah, this is, it felt like, okay, if Notre Dame's able to win this game, it's going to be every single lucky bounce going their way, and just a lot of like blue collar physical work, because the more talented, bigger, faster team is Ohio State.
At no point y'all really thought Notre Dame was going to come back, right?
No,
no. When when they cut it to 8, obviously it's like, all right. They still have to stop Ohio State. They've done a good job of that over the last couple of drives, but still, you never thought that they would be able to do it again. I mean, Ohio State's just too talented.
Ohio State was like 8 for 8. On third downs through the first like 3.5 quarters of this game. Like, I mean, it was just they extended every single drive. They were able to keep moving the ball. And like I said, the very first drive that Notre Dame scores, it took 2 fourth down conversions. It took like just basically emptying everything that they had right there to where it's like, they're just kind of like, all right, well, that was our best shot. What are we going to do now?
Ohio State scores on their first 4 drives. Smith gets going. He was tired of being a decoy. He's like, I'll be a decoy for the Texas game, and that's it. He told Chris Fowler and Herb Street, like, I'm looking to ball. Had the huge conversion, and Marcus Freeman is getting criticized for that field goal. They're down 16 with about 9 minutes left, and he decides to kick for 3.
Yep, you were running out of possessions. I mean, it didn't do anything. It made it a two-possession game, and now it put them in a position where they get a touchdown. They could be within striking distance, obviously, but yeah, that was a weird situation to kick the field goal there. You were down so close to the goal line. Just go for it at that point.
And then the most polarizing voice, I think, in college football steps to the microphone to accept the title.
The story gets to get told now, and it's a great story about a bunch of guys who have just overcome some really tough situations. And there was a point where there was a lot of people that counted us out, and we just kept swinging and kept fighting. It's the reason why you get into coaching, is to see guys overcome things, learn life lessons, and then reach their dreams. This is what happened tonight.
I know I'm going to be in the minority. I can already tell by Bobby's disgusted, eye-rolling face.
No, he sounds like Bert Kreischer. Somebody pointed that out to me a couple years ago, and he does sound just like him.
You know, I feel kind of good for Ryan Day.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
I think he is the Nick Sirianni of college football. His reactions are like a psycho special teams coach. He's always looking to irritate, whether it's intentional or not. But you put that idea in my head a couple of weeks ago, and I want to see it come true. I want to see Ohio State give the middle fingers to the Buckeye Nation and walk away and roll out the door.
I would love to see him resign this morning. He'll do his next day press conference. Yeah. He'll walk up to the podium and say, no questions, I quit, and then leave. Like, that's what I want to see, because that's what those fans deserve. You know, because I had a bunch of my college friends that went to that game in Columbus. They said,
well,
and you went to an SEC game this year. You know, he said those are the rudest fans he's ever seen, and they all did.
The Buckeyes,
fans are awful. They don't have that Southern hospitality. Yeah. You know, they're just those crude. And you know, when you're in the SEC, like they're the trash talking fans. Like they're trash. And yeah, I don't want to see them enjoy this.
I would not be stunned if there are still several Ohio State fans that are like, well, yeah, but I mean, Ryan Day he's still not the reason we won.
Yeah.
Ryan Day can leave. I don't care.
Because they are going to stack that up right. Michigan last year beat Ohio State.
Uh-huh. They're undefeated.
The Dave Portnoy's of the world and the Michigan men, they're going to say, our title means more because we beat you during the run. And there will be nut job Buckeye fans who believe it.
Yeah.
And they will discount it just a little bit because they lost to the Wolverines.
Yeah, and if they lose to Michigan again next year, if Ryan Day is back and they lose to Michigan again next year, they will want him fired. That's what they want. Which I kind of love hating another team that much. Yeah, that you are that obsessed and you're just like, fire him! Yeah, fire him! I mean, it doesn't matter that he won a title. I want to beat this team. I want to beat Michigan. I can't cheer for Ryan Day no matter what, especially with the way that whole Michigan thing was handled by him and the players, when they all of a sudden they want to start fighting people after the game is over, and Ryan Day's got to have his hands on his hips and go, "What happened? Are guys fighting?" Like he showed cowardly leadership along the way. So I'm not a huge Ryan Day
fan. Michigan absolutely will say their title means more because they're undefeated. That also matters, you know. Yeah. Like when we won in title in 98, and Florida was our chief rival, they won it in 96. They had a loss. And that was our fight. That was our trump card. Our title was undefeated. There's no questions about it.
Does it look weird or bad for the committee at the end of the day when you look up and the national championship in this new format was decided between 8 and 7? Is that an eyesore?
It's a weird number.
Yeah.
Which one?
Both of them. They're weird numbers, but the best. I mean, it was two top five teams in the final AP ranking, and it was. Like, you ultimately still, however the structure is, because I saw Jordan Lewis tweeted last night. He was like, 12-team playoff was a failure. He's like, and I'm not just saying that because Ohio State won, but 12-team playoff was a failure. But to me, it's like, Ohio State, you could make your... We had talked about this leading into the playoff. Team. Ohio State was the most talented team.
Yeah, they were.
And so the most talented team ended up winning. And so, I mean, is it that much of a failure if that's what you got?
Yeah, it was the most talented team. You know, they went... What were they ranked? They were number 6 in the rankings, in the final college playoff rankings. And Notre Dame was 5, you know, so like it is a little weird. There's no doubt about that you see the ranking next to their team.
Yeah.
But that's the new way it is in college sports. And that's just the reality of it. And, you know, when you look at college basketball, when you get to the Final Four and it's a 2 and 3 seed, which would be like it could be number 8 versus 12. That's even worse. But you see it as 2 versus 3. It looks better. The optics are better.
Which what would have been the national title in the BCS era? It would have been Oregon, Georgia. That's what we would have ended up with instead of Oregon, what we got Georgia. Last night.
So how are you going to remember this Buckeye team in terms of the talent or the way that they played?
I will remember this kind of like if Kansas City wins, like a light switch. They're like the light switch team. Because like they did not play anywhere. If they played anywhere remotely close to this during the regular season, they beat Michigan. They probably beat Oregon the first time. Like they played on a different level. They were the ultimate flip the switch team. And Will Howard played great that first half.
Yes.
I don't know that it's going to be remembered. Like
14 of 15?
Yeah. That Michigan pivot point is going to be, I think, something that's remembered about this season, where it's like everybody expected them to crumble and they didn't, so they're going to get high marks probably for, oh, wow, they took something. Like that'll be an example people use into the future of, like, are you going to let this rally you like it did Ohio State, or are you going to let it kill you like it does this team or that team, and point to that throughout history? But, I mean, they deserve a ton of credit for answering the way they did, because everybody thought they were going to be broken by the Michigan loss, and that was an example of, wow, this team mentally is just, they're done. They're not going to be able to do this.
Ryan Day becomes the youngest coach to win the national championship since Urban Meyer did it in 2008. Ryan Day, the age of 45. Just a little refresher.
Ah, that's the youngest to
do
it.
He looks 52.
He looks young.
He looks 52 because he puts in the dye in his beard and stuff. He looks like he's older.
There's like the college coaches are like significantly older than NFL coaches.
Does he look? He looks the same age as Choppy? I don't think so.
He might look like a tiny bit older.
Oh, I thought he looked like young 50s. That's what I thought he was.
Me?
No. Oh. Ryan Day with his brushing in his beard.
Yeah,
color
the
brushing
a young dude.
Yeah, he's not
47. Maybe I'll give him two more years. Yeah, not 50s.
A lot of work. He's got to put a lot. This coach put a lot of work in.
Is there no doubt in your mind that he dyes a beard?
Yeah,
I mean,
it's jet black.
So.
Oh, it's jet black. I don't think you can reach the age of 38 without having a little bit of gray.
Why doesn't anyone talk about him as an NFL coach?
Because I think there are questions about
maturity.
The maturity, the way he handles people. I think he's a good recruiter. It's the way that he handles the collection of players. And I think he's thought of as having... You have all-world assistants there. Like, Chip Kelly's a really good play caller. People really like Brian Hartline. Like, I think a lot of it's considered to be, it's the same thing as the Brian Kelly question. Like, there's never been a lot of talk about Brian Kelly as a question. And it's like, well, what exactly are you doing over there? You're recruiting people and you're collecting all this talent, but there are all these questions on the side about you.
So the NCAA football season is done. I was happy with the tournament. I was happy with it. I like more games that matter.
Overall, I mean, look, when was the last time? Now, if you're a diehard college fan, it might be a little bit different, but when was the last time you watched 13 postseason college football games?
Never.
Or whatever the number is, 11, however many they did.
Well, I mean, gosh, we got two extra weeks. We're not playing college football until January 20th every year. Like, that's great. You cut down the time that I was without college football, so I'm a fan.
Now, I would like for them to move the game. I think part of sports is having a preview. When you play your game the day after the divisional round of the playoffs, I mean, there's no preview. I would move the game to Wednesday. You know, like that way on that Wednesday morning, you can talk about the game going in. You're not gonna, the game gets swallowed up by the NFL.
The dominoes are starting to fall with the NFL coaching carousel. What has Bobby found out about the Brian Schottenheimer rumors? He was burning up the phones yesterday. Another Cowboys coach is gone. And did Mike McCarthy make a big mistake after what happened yesterday in Chicago? We'll take you inside the Star and around the NFL coaching world. No one does it better. Next on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. Thanks to Tolo, Justin, and others saying what's up with the fan cam. Pepe has been working on it in the commercial break. I believe we're all good. Peyton Russell?
We're up and running, guys.
All right, we are back up and running live on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Thank you for the heads up and turning it on, leaving it on. That is what Tolo stands for. Got the entire morning family together on a Tolo Tuesday. Yesterday, in the final hour, we were rocked by the Mike Florio news that Vegas has put Brian Schottenheimer, Cowboys offensive coordinator, at number one on the betting board to replace Mike McCarthy. Bobby Belt, over to you and everything you found out and discussed yesterday after the show ended.
There's no clarity at all in that building right now, it doesn't feel like. And I think that's indicative of the fact that this really feels like it's probably Jerry kind of leading this more than he has other decisions in the past few years. Because in the past few years, there's usually a critical consensus. There's a group that's working through things, and you kind of get a sense of, all right, the group's kind of feeling this way, or Jerry's talking over this or that, or directing these sort of things. And you get a sense throughout the entire Dallas building, like, all right, well, these five people involved. I know this is what they think and this is what they're talking about. This one is kind of all over the place where I don't know that there's a lot of clarity for even top line executives. And the Brian Schottenheimer thing that started right now, it's like we said yesterday. I don't know that I'm going to say, like, I wouldn't say he's a slam dunk Brian Schottenheimer's got the job. Like, and I don't think he's this overwhelming favorite that Vegas put in there, but he's real. Like, he's absolutely real as part of their discussion. And part of this is because a lot of the players really love him. And it's not just guys on offense. Guys on defense love him. Because when he first got hired here, he was hired as a defensive coach to work with the defensive staff in terms of, here are your weaknesses, here's how I'd challenge you. It was the Ben McAdoo role that they used previously. But I think a lot of what this is just there's questions about how much has Kellen potentially forgiven them for everything? How interested are they in waiting around for Kellen? Were they impressed enough by Saleh, who apparently crushed his interview on Saturday, did great with his interview on Saturday? How much do they like Saleh? How much were they waiting around potentially to get their hands on Aaron Glenn and talk to him? I think these are all different factors that people are throwing around and trying to scale and figure out. And because of that, there is a line of thinking there of just, you know, there's no question with Schottenheimer. Like, Shotty's here, and players like Shotty, and, you know, we don't have to worry about outside noise because the inside noise, what players in here think, they like him. And so we can go that route. And so I think it's just, it's a legitimate discussion right now. I think there is a thought process that says, is this real in terms of how much they love him, or they definitely love him. Is this real in terms of we're going to actually pull the trigger and do this, or is there some end game here of we need to pull Kellen's price down, or we need to push him this way, we need to do this, we need to do that, and we'll leverage it with this? I think it's very clear at this point, though, they want him back here in some capacity.
They want who?
Brian Schottenheimer. They want him back here in some capacity.
The fact that they would, like, because there's no rhyme or reason to these rumors. There's none. Like, this doesn't, you're not competing with any other team for Brian Schottenheimer's head coaching services.
Unless you are trying to, like, you're trying to drive Kellen down. Kellen, we got an option. You can stay in Philly, or you can get a head coaching job by taking our terms.
Yeah, it's, that's the cheapness that they are. They really are. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I think this was, like, I truly believe they were doing the float a name. Float a name out there, gauge the reaction. If the vitriol is tame.
Which it is. Oh, the vitriol is not tame. I'm
right.
Sorry.
Yeah, the vitriol is tame. You know what? The players, we're okay to deal with it because the players like them. If it's high, if it's panic in the streets, if there's protesters out there outside of the Star, then we're gonna pull back.
I talked to people yesterday who. There are some who think he's absolutely getting the job. There are others who think there's no chance. And so, I mean, to me, that's, again, I think it speaks to when you've got all this, typically everybody is sort of on the same page when you talk to them. And even if they've got details that they feel are a little different, nobody's just completely different on the overall direction of what they're doing. For there to be so many different opinions, like I said, that to me says nobody knows, because nobody knows what Jerry's going to do. And it's very much, is Jerry going to turn in the Manziel card, or is he going to say, all right, I'll let you guys pick Zach Martin? That's what they're trying to figure out right now.
Adam Schefter, with what he knows, when hit about the Schottenheimer stuff on McAfee.
Jerry Jones is certainly apt to change his mind from day to day. And again, I think the candidates have been out there so far. I think Brian Schottenheimer is the favorite in Las Vegas here. Now, that doesn't mean that Brian Schottenheimer isn't going to be the head coach at some point in time. Again, we never rule out anything, but to the best of my knowledge, he hadn't even interviewed for the job, and Dallas hadn't approached him about being the head coach. I think the Cowboys absolutely love and respect Brian Schottenheimer, and they want him there, but I don't know that that's as the head coach right now. Now, again, the process will unfold, and we'll see what twists and turns it takes, and maybe it leads them back to Brian Schottenheimer as a head coaching candidate. At one point in time, Brian Schottenheimer was like the hot guy out there roughly, I don't know, what was it, a decade ago, a decade plus ago, when he was the offensive coordinator of the Jets, and he turned down some jobs. And I think there's a lesson there in that when you're a coordinator and these jobs come along, when you're a GM candidate and these jobs come along, you can't wait
Yeah.
Too long. You have to strike when you have the opportunity. And it would be great if Brian Schottenheimer were to get another opportunity. I haven't heard that that's happening yet. Maybe it does happen down the line. But to my knowledge, right now, that's not the case.
For chaos theory, for just like the this is what you get type of angle, people loved that Mike McCarthy apparently just walked away.
Yeah.
How much do you think people would love it if Kellen Moore said, no thanks, I've been there once, not doing that again. Robert Saleh went, no thanks, I'll take the Jaguars job, appreciate you. And they just start getting stuck with, well, we just don't have options. Like, we don't have anybody to hire.
I'll tell you this. If I was Robert Saleh, after I just dealt with that circus with the Jets, I might want to go to a very anonymous place.
I was told if he was offered both jobs, it's very likely he would take Jacksonville.
Over this?
Yeah.
It's like the
Lord.
Yeah, like your legacy, you could define your legacy as a coach. You can enjoy your time as a coach more elsewhere. And I think if you're making like life-changing money, and all these guys have life-changing money, like some guys are just like, dude, I don't want to put up with that. Like McCarthy was like,
it's like going to New York to play for the Yankees.
Yeah, like if you can make $100 million playing for the Guardians or $120 playing for the Yankees or whatever the number is, like I'm not dealing with those idiots.
Ask Joey Gallo, yeah.
Schefter doesn't seem, this is really reading between the lines, Schefter seems to be saying, I'm not buying head coach stuff. I'm not buying that yet.
Hedging a little.
Hedging a little. He hasn't even gotten an interview. We haven't even talked about an interview.
No, he's had.
We don't think he's had an interview.
No, from what we've heard, he's not. But like, what? By the way, did we miss the Brian Schottenheimer was a hot head coaching candidate era?
Yeah, I mean, you did. If you didn't realize Brian Schottenheimer turned down head coaching jobs in 2010, 2011. He was absolutely the top name at one point.
Yeah, I don't remember that. Don't remember not that. Based on that Jets offense.
Ground a pound, baby.
I put out the poll question yesterday. I don't think I've ever had one with as many votes that was as one-sided. How would you feel about Schottenheimer's Cowboys' next head coach? 94-6.
What, 94?
94%, no, you cannot be serious.
How many votes?
3,100.
Who are those?
Better sample all these pollsters.
I got to know. Yeah,
they're down. Eagle fans.
I guess so.
They're other fans.
Who are the like 100, whatever that is, 180 fans that said, yeah, that's I'll take math. That. It's
there really are other fans in the NFC East. So Brian Schottenheimer, number one on the boards in Vegas. They did interview Leslie Frazier for the vacancy.
Yeah, and they interviewed with him for a long time. He was in there for several hours. And everything you hear is that...
Well, they had to make it look legit.
No, everything you hear is that Leslie Frazier is a guy who impresses not just the Cowboys, impressed them yesterday, which is what I heard, but you know, impresses teams in general when he sits down with them with like, hey, I've got a clear, organized vision for this is how you create a strong, disciplined culture. This is how you create a winning football team. And that I think they came away from it really liking Leslie Frazier. I don't think they're going to hire him as head coach. Not just because it's like, well, we got our own ideas. I think Leslie Frazier might want to shake things up more than they want. And I think that it's for a team that clearly,
I wonder how many people, I was wondering this about Saleh. I wonder how many people go in there, sit down and give them a cold dose of reality. How many actually sit down and say, you know what the problem is? Yep. And point right at him, or some version of that. That's a little harsh.
A nicer version. Maybe
like how many coaches are the Joneses?
Yeah, like you really want to win? Do you guys really want to win, or do you want to make noise? Because you need to this, and you need to get the hell up out of the way. I wonder how many actually say it.
Well, Belichick took the UNC job, so we'll never know.
I would say none that actually want the job,
right?
Because you know, like McCarthy had to like sit there and say he watched every game and whatever.
It's like Gordon. Yeah, he was a liar right from the start. Isn't that wild, Mike?
You need someone. I just want someone to be like Gordon Ramsay, Kitchen Nightmares, like walk in and destroy them.
It's trash.
Yes.
Now I think Leslie Frazier though he did. While they were very impressed with him, I think, again, they want some semblance of continuity. And the things he talked about were probably more, oh, this feels like radical culture change.
Yeah.
And I don't know how comfortable we are with this when we feel like we're close.
And by the way, to your shock value point, no, Cowboy fans would not be as happy getting turned down over and over and over again as they were on Mike walking out. Because well, we still want a coach. We still want like an exciting hire. I think having NFC East teams advance, ha-ha, in your face, Joneses. Mike McCarthy walked out on you, ha-ha, in your face. I don't think we want to end up, you know, like the Longhorns years ago, ninth, looking for your ninth candidate.
And then Jerry names himself head coach.
I know. Good gosh, people are sitting there like, I really think that's happening. I really do. I got that tweet yesterday.
God, y'all are stupid sometimes.
You've said some stupid things in the past 48 hours.
List them.
Some no name. You've said about three people would, you know, have been closer against Green Bay or a better coach than Mike McCarthy.
No, and there are a lot of stupid people who work for the Cowboys who think the same thing.
Well, you're the one who's going to have to go back over there. Keep using the word stupid. Bones Fossil is gone on over to the Tennessee Titans.
I don't care. I don't care about the special.
Who's going to do play-by-play of practice in Oxnard?
That's a good question.
Who's going to do
Choose her up. Choose her up.
It's a mojo moment. Mojo.
No, thank God that's gone too.
Who's going to walk into the
Hey, I liked hearing the Sunday Night Football theme, okay? It was fun. That was cool.
Let me, I do want to ask a serious, nerdy special teams question.
Yeah.
How much credit does a person like Bones Fossil get for Aubrey and Turpin? I wonder that myself. I'm curious. Like, Bones Fossil develop Brandon Aubrey as a kicker, or is it way less? Is it exactly like your analogy, except not even close to the coach and the quarterback? You know what I mean? Like you said, Jaden Daniels is going to be Jaden Daniels no matter what. I think in my mind, a coach has more impact on Jaden Daniels than a special teams guy on a kicker. But I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, I never really thought of it. I assume like.
Like, is Bones Fossil a kicking expert?
I assume, well, that was Zuerlein.
Not with Greg Zuerlein.
I assume that, like, if there's a technique issue, if they can see something that mechanically they're doing wrong, like a golf swing. I think it actually, with a kicker, might have more impact.
They can clean up a lot of mechanical things, and I think a special teams coach matters to your unit. I think your unit is usually pretty directly reflective of how good is your special teams
now,
coach.
Now, Turpin, probably zero. Like, that's just gifted speed.
A lot of people would say that he helped Turpin understand how to set up blocks and return kicks.
Sure, be patient.
Everybody loves Bones Fossil personally. Does not seem like you could have a better dude. I was disappointed with his tenure here based upon a lot of the hype. And a lot of the hype really is branding. You hear Bones Fossil and, oh my gosh, so highly regarded. Last name. I was disappointed, especially with these crazy dumb fakes that looked so embarrassing last season.
I mean, I did have somebody tell me that they're like, they thought the fact that Bones left might be a decent indicator that the Schottenheimer thing isn't that real. That, all right, if Schottenheimer was going to stay, Bones would probably feel like, all right, we got some security. We know where we're heading. I'll stay. And the fact that he left might say, okay, I don't know what we're doing here.
Other moves are being made. Is it possible that Mike McCarthy could just come back here and solve this whole
thing? God,
no. Keep your mic off. That's next for the 6 a.m. Club with Sean and RJ, 105 through the Fan. Could Mike McCarthy come back to the Cowboys? Good morning, Metroplex. Sean, RJ, and Bobby Belt with you here on DFW Sports Station, 105 through the Fan. Bob, thank you for breakfast. Fantastic, which I'm digesting right now while trying to get through this opening sentence.
Did you like me wearing the hat just for you today that I wore on Friday night on TV?
Didn't even notice it. Don't care.
I cared about Saturday.
Yeah, I care when you embarrass yourself on television. The big coaching domino fell yesterday. Ben Johnson, new head coach of the Chicago Bears. The early salary floating around. Would Jerry Jones have paid $13 million?
No, he would not have.
$13 million for Ben Johnson. That is what Flory was kind of hearing. But here it is. The golden child is going to his new quarterback.
You know, he had to eventually pick a team.
Yeah.
I mean, he had been a coaching candidate for like 3 years now. He had to eventually, you know, it's either S or get off the pot at this point. Like, you either want to.
Brian Schottenheimer.
Yeah, you either want to be a coach or you don't. And if he didn't, that's fine. Like, if he just wanted to be an OC the rest of his life, I mean, that's fine.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. You know, carve your own path. But, like, you throw $13 million at somebody, and I can't imagine he was making close to that as the OC. I mean, you got to take it. You got to take it.
Yeah, and you get to go work with Caleb Williams, who, I mean, don't ask Jake Rietma about Caleb Williams in the other room. He's not a big fan, but you get to work with Caleb Williams, and a lot of really good young offensive talent, and now we'll see if you can actually lead that group and if you can actually bring them their first 4,000-yard passer in the history of that franchise.
The fact that that has, and then again, another year where they don't hire a coach with head coaching experience in their 100-year history.
Yeah.
It's been one guy, John Fox.
Well, what happened to the board op in Chicago that told you that they were going to hire Mike McCarthy?
They were the front runner. I don't know. It's funny. They texted me yesterday. And they're like, hey, I just want to remind you, we have you're coming up here in like 2 hours. I told him to remind me that day. And I said, okay. Literally 10 minutes later, I saw the thing pop up on my computer screen, and they sent me that text. I'm like, yep, you have to cancel.
Many people think that Dennis Allen is going with him to be the defensive coordinator, former head coach of the New Orleans Saints. So going ahead and trying to build his staff. I've asked numerous times over the past few weeks, what do we know about Ben Johnson? Kevin Turner.
Well,
listening to the show,
Tizzle,
whose football opinion I respect, texted me and said, Ben Johnson, calm under pressure, software engineer, genius, knows who he is and not an ounce of fake, will handle his part and let others do theirs, will not try to be in the spotlight. So that's what KT passed on over about Ben Johnson. I am not that furious and disgusted that the Cowboys apparently didn't make that much of an effort to talk to Ben Johnson. I'm more alarmed and embarrassed that Ben Johnson apparently had zero freaking interest in checking out the Dallas Cowboys. Like, you can make an argument, right? Like, everyone just knew that this was a marriage that was going to happen. Everyone knew Ben Johnson was going to Chicago. Yeah. I give props to Albert Breer. That's the one I first saw say this a long time ago, that Ben Johnson was interested in the Chicago job last year. So I'm not that furious with the Cowboys. I mean, I'm pretty upset about it, but I'm more alarmed that Ben Johnson didn't care about the big room.
I think the issue is personality. I don't know that his personality would have meshed here.
Yeah.
If everybody says that he is like this kind of quiet, reserved guy, software engineer.
Kellen Moore, Jason Garrett?
Jason had been here. Kellen had been here.
Okay. I'm just saying personality-wise, they're quiet, you know. Kellen's quiet,
they
are. Reserve.
They are. But, you know, I think Jason's cut a little bit differently. Ben wanted also, all the rumors say he wanted a lot more control.
Yeah.
Than the Cowboys were probably willing to give him, and he knew that.
Yeah, and I mean, man,
there was a rumor out there, I think it was in Jacksonville, I saw yesterday, I don't know whether one of you guys sent it. The alignment was not there for the front office and what Ben Johnson would have wanted. So that screams some control there. And the Bears are like, screw it, we're desperate.
Well, and like the Jags have shown they will spend. Like, Shad will spend some money.
Sure. I mean, the cons then this past year, though, were like, maybe our spending money idea was bad. Maybe we shouldn't spend as much money. But, I mean, I'm going to be fascinated to see how Chicago moves forward with him. Like, because there's so much hype around him, and I'm trying to think of who has been like the most recent of just like, that guy's going to be a superstar. He's going to be so awesome. Mike McDaniel, maybe, where McDaniel got to Miami and some of that lived up to the hype early. And then it's like, all right, can you actually do this or not? And I wonder if, We've seen different instances of X's and O's geniuses on either side who then they get there and they can't lead a football team. And I wonder if he's going to be that. It sounded like when we talked to Rappaport a couple weeks ago, he didn't think he could be that.
And of course, the other domino in this is Mike McCarthy not getting the Bears job. So I can't wait for this to play out to see who's right in the building. Me and Bobby versus like Broadus and others who think that McCarthy was definitely going to get another job. Now it looks like the Saints or bust for Mike because the Bears are out. And what I said at the time when we were going back and forth to the Jerry McCarthy meeting, if you're Mike and you want to walk out, make sure you're okay with retirement. Make sure when you walk out of the doors in Frisco, you have come to terms with this is my last walk as an NFL head coach because this could be it, done, and over with.
Could be. Could be. I mean, I think Jacksonville will be in play for Mike.
Well, have they talked about him yet?
No.
They're interviewing Saleh for a second time.
Yeah.
And Aaron Glenn is interviewing with the Jets for a second time. So if you're on number two interviews and you haven't scheduled one with me yet, that's not a good sign.
It's not a good sign. It doesn't mean he can't sneak his way in there. His Belichick interviewed like three times in Atlanta last year. and they wound up giving it to Raheem. But yeah, I think that, you know, if you're Mike, you're at the age where retirement's fine. You're cool with it. He's in his 60s.
Well, that's the thing.
He doesn't seem cool with it.
That's the thing. Everyone keeps saying that. We have no idea what his motivation is.
No.
Yeah, everyone is saying, you got enough money, go enjoy life. Mike McCarthy may not want to retire. Mike McCarthy may be dying to coach a football team still. So he might not be fine with just sitting back and chilling and traveling the world. Right. He wants to coach, you know, 3 more years, maybe.
You've got to weigh, and he had to weigh, and I'm sure he did. Because I doubt he did an emotional walkout.
I don't know.
Yeah, he's not an emotional individual, that's for sure.
But, like, you had to weigh, you know, what am I more comfortable with? Walking away and potentially never working again? Or, like, kind of being, because the whole thing with the Witten stuff, that was seemingly being the bridge, right? Or am I really, like, okay with, like, disrespecting myself?
Yeah.
And for him, and I think for a lot of people, like, for most people who have to worry about their next meal, they don't care about that.
Well, they care. They just don't have the power to do anything about it.
When you have the power to do something about it,
yeah,
it makes it much easier to be like, all right, you know what?
No, I respect what Mike did personally, but I'm going to hear my father ringing me up 10 times over all these job meetings in this building. Professionally, I was worried for Mike that he's walking into retirement and not necessarily on his own accord, that Mike would be forced into retirement. That's what I would have said if we were talking to Mike or if I was Don Yee. Yo, I don't think the Bears thing is really happening. Are you okay with going to New Orleans without a quarterback? And Jacksonville right now is not calling to set up an interview. This is more likely than not it. Over 50%, one of these other teams is not calling to hire you. Just be okay with that professionally. And that's where we stand right now with McCarthy, as the Saints are looking at Aaron Glenn as well. And again, Jacksonville's second interview with Saleh.
Yeah, and I mean, they're
also interested, I'm sorry, according to Schefter, in Liam Cohen and Joe Brady. So no Mike McCarthy listed.
Yeah, I think on the Vegas betting odds, the most recent one for the Saints head coach, he was like fourth. McCarthy was on the Saints betting job. So look, I mean, this is when that chatter starts, this is when it helps for Mike to have his media, national media friends who will pump him up as being some legitimate candidate somewhere. It also helps that when his personal assistant is a Fox Sports reporter and is going to then pump his name up other places, he is a lot of fluff and not a lot of follow through. So his interview cycle is going very similar to his coaching career.
Yeah,
you're so easy to telegraph with your trolling. With the way
is that incorrect?
Is it incorrect? He's a Super Bowl champion. Like,
His reputation is he got Rodgers one.
The psychopath convention.
Why? What's the psychopath convention?
Where you start going on your little rants here.
It's one. I don't care. No, because you know what? There's actual. I care when people say stupid S like you just did.
Well,
that's stupid.
Aaron Glenn, one of the top coaching candidates, is set for another one with the Jets. And Rappaport says this morning they don't want to let Aaron Glenn get out of the building. You had some random Bobby-esque hate for Lou Anarumo yesterday. Where did that come from as the Colts hire him as their DC from Cincinnati?
That wasn't hate.
Yeah. Okay, you want me to read the email?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's basically like, thank God. Thank God we didn't get him. I wanted no part. I just didn't remember you ever saying anything about Lou Anarumo.
You see, the whole thing with their defense this year, terrible.
Yeah.
Their defense, I mean, they've had issues defensively.
He's been good there.
Well, at times, yeah, at times he has, and then this year they were terrible. I was just surprised that he got a job in like 2 seconds. He went the full Rob Ryan. Remember when Rob Ryan left, he was like, I'll get a job in 5 minutes. And it wound up being like a year before he got the Saints job. But yeah, it was just, I was a little surprised that Lou Anarumo, I didn't want to see him here. I don't think they would have hired him, but I'm a little bummed that he's not in the NFC East.
Oh. Doesn't he have a good reputation?
People like him. They think he's a good coach. He would have worked here, but I don't think they had any interest in hiring him here.
Belichick's girlfriend shut down rumors that he would be interested in going back to the NFL. She posted a picture of herself and Bill in North Carolina color saying, we're overly committed
I'll take a little sip.
Overly committed. That from Jordan Hudson, the girlfriend of Bill Belichick. So that's where we stand right now. Next big domino to fall. You got a prediction or what you're dying to see the most?
I'm dying to see where the hell the Raiders go. They have to pivot because they thought they had Ben. They thought that Ben Johnson was going to go there. Now, Brady obviously seems to have a lot of influence. But, you know, Tom, you know how we talked about with Gerard Mayo that his web was really small because he had only been with the Patriots? You know, Tom's web's not really small, but, I mean, you know, he had really 90% of his career was with New England. Like, he does not have the biggest web of, like, coaches that he could possibly, that he has a really close relationship with. I really am fascinated because that's a toxic job, too.
The evil Ryan Day has his national championship. We recap the comeback and all the cheap concessions at the game with a college football kegger next on 105.3 The Fan.